Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. California Governor Newsom outlined his plan to move forward toward lifting the stay-at-home decree. Let's take a look at it. Pelosi refuses to come off her isolation in San Francisco, eating her $13 a pint chocolate ice cream from her $24,000 refrigerator. Talking about how much she is enjoying her isolation, while small businesses in America are suffering because that woman will not call Congress back to Washington to take care of the business of the people, to create a bill to provide much-needed funding to help our small business people in America. Nancy Antoinette, as some are now calling her, saying to the small businesses in California, let them eat cake. Chocolate. Americans are beginning to rise up against the excessive and unreasonable use of this pandemic to take away our liberties. Looks like the conspiracy crowd got it right again. Well, somewhat. Apparently, this new coronavirus did leak out of a virology lab in Wuhan, China, after all. Let's take a look. Will we make China pay for this? We should. Hey, I heard stimulus checks are being sent to some that are deceased. What do you want to bet? They're among the dead that vote Democrat every year. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
California Governor Newsom outlined his plan to move toward lifting the stay-at-home decree. And now, to be fair, at least this governor has enough respect for Californians to follow a persuasion rather than punishment strategy to enforce his order. At least we're happy to say for the present. And if I have time, I'll also take a look at Trump's Phase 1, 2, 3 plan for getting America back to work. But let's take a look at the Gavin plan, all right? At least he mentions the concept of immunity. Until we build immunity, our actions will be aligned to achieve the following. Ensure we can care for those who are sick, prevent infection among those who are at risk of serious reaction to the disease, build the capacity to protect the health and well-being of the public, and I wonder about what that might include, and then reduce social, emotional, and economic disruptions. And that he gave by way of introduction. He admitted that current efforts are, well, he said, hard to sustain. I would say they are unsustainable because of the, and he named three things, impact on our economy, on our poverty, and on healthcare. Although the truth is, our healthcare providers are not so overwhelmed as some would have you believe. Well, then Governor Newsom outlined six things that he will use to decide when and how much to modify his stay-at-home order. When the governor is satisfied, we have adequate facility to test everyone who requires testing, and when he sees that we can handle the necessary contact tracing, well, these things together will be a marker that, in his mind, would justify thinking about or moving toward relaxing his stay-at-home order. However, there are five more. Let's look at them. The second marker is the ability to prevent infection in people who are at higher risk of severe reaction to the virus. He wants to ensure older folks and those with medical vulnerabilities can be supported in their homes or quarantined from the public. Also, he's looking to see that there's a plan in place to quickly identify and contain outbreaks in what we call old folks' homes and among the disabled and those who are in jail. His outline includes concern for those with comorbidities, multiple fatal problems, but that actually seems that he would come under the medical vulnerabilities part, but anyway. Number three, the preparedness of our hospitals to handle any possible surge of an outbreak. That's in bed capacity, supply, staffing, you know, ventilators, masks. He asks whether our healthcare system can adequately address COVID-19 and other critical healthcare needs. I thought that was kind of weird. I mean, California has some of the best hospitals in the whole wide world, and the doctors too, and so on. So, anyway, number four, he asks, have we built a coalition of private, public, and academic partners to accelerate the development of therapeutics? And he's talking about therapies, or, you know, things we can do to treat people with diseases. And again, this is beginning to sound a little bit like a plan to launch a new medical system in a country. I mean, we have the infrastructure in place to answer this, unless it's a repeat of number three and he's thinking in terms of capacities. Number five, the ability for businesses, schools, and childcare facilities to support physical distancing with the ability to implement the distancing practices and guidelines to check employees and patrons who enter their premises. And here he elaborates his concern that we have supplies and equipment to keep the workforce and customers safe. And then finally, he wants a plan in place to determine when to reinstate certain measures, like the stay-at-home rule, if it becomes necessary. He wants an early warning system in place and the ability to quickly communicate his reinstatement of the stay-at-home order if he deems it necessary in the future. Then he offered his projections of what the new normal will look like. Restaurants will open with fewer tables, ergo prices will go up, face coverings will be more common, ergo we'll all look more like China, and new opportunities will likely arise to support mitigation. So prices for goods and services go up a bit more because of the need to hire people to monitor this stuff or advise the company on this stuff and blah, 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 blah. All right. Maybe he's going to grab the coattails of the good mayor of Los Angeles and hire a whole army of snitchers to go about taking notes on what you're doing and then report you to the police. Anyway, some of these make perfect sense, by the way, and some of them only make sense within the context of the way you can expect a liberal to be thinking. Let me give you some examples of that. The government cannot prevent infection in people who are at higher risk of severe reaction to the virus. You know, I mean, how far would the good governor go in this effort? Would he justify locking up old folks, like in prison or something, keeping them prisoners in their own home, and do that every flu season? How do you prevent infection? Even if they instituted the most outrageous controls on the movements of older folks and all who interact with them, even then, he could not prevent an infection. I mean, he should have used the word mitigate, but we would still have a problem. I mean, how far does the governor think government can go or should go to protect people from getting sick? And by the way, I'll tell you where the liberals draw the line in just a moment. Hang on. And thinking of lines along the same lines, insisting on preparedness to handle any possible surge of an outbreak? Well, that's unreasonable. The projections we've been hearing from professionals have been so way off the mark. I mean, if you set the bar on their projections earlier on, it would be nearly impossible to provide enough beds and doctors, and we would be in indefinite lockdown. Also, whom will the governor listen to? Unreliable sources such as the World Health Organization, run by a pack of China sycophants? I mean, the thing is too vague. A plan tailored to what we have experienced in the past might work, such as the swine flu pandemic. Perhaps that would be reasonable. At least it would have the benefit of something premised on concrete data. I mean, why not use the current pandemic, one might ask? Well, they're not counting deaths by COVID-19 in an honest and straightforward manner. The issue has been politicized. We've got to go back to when Obama didn't care about all the people dying of the swine flu. I got to be careful when I say that, but there's some truth in what I'm saying here. Anyway, spent so much of his time on the golf course and vacationing, you know, like Nancy's doing now in her mansion, eating $13 per pint chocolate ice cream, ignoring pleas of American small business owners for much needed relief that the Congress must provide. Trump can't spend the money. Only Congress can do that. And all this is on her, friend. Anyway, at least the swine flu numbers of deaths can be relied upon, since there was no political motive for Obama and his propaganda machine called the MSM to lie about it, because they simply ignored it. Or they whispered it on page 10. Played it down, friend, is the point I'm making. Another example. Our governor wants to ensure we have built a coalition of private, public, and academic partners to accelerate the development of therapeutics. The free market system has already got this going for us. So we're good to go there. Unless he means he wants to add a new layer of government oversight and intrusion into the free market to top-down compel and control such a coalition. Nothing will more certainly kill any progress toward development of anything than putting it into the hands of the government. Friend, this whole virus leaking out of a lab in China and then China covering up you know, resulting in a worldwide pandemic is a perfect example of just why we don't want the government to have control of the development of anything. Anyway, now we come to number 6, and that one is just downright frightening. He wants an early warning system and the ability to quickly communicate a reinstatement of his stay-at-home order if he deems it necessary to do so in the future. Now, why does that trouble me? Well, because, taking the example we have before us right now, we are shutting down the entire state over concerns about a virus that never materialized. Now, California began developing immunity to this early on. Now, I've addressed that before. Rush has brought it up several times. Others have spoken to it. A vaccine introduces a controlled amount of a modified version of the virus, which triggers an immunity response, shielding us from further infection. Friend, that's what my mom was doing when she took me to the neighbor's house and let me play with a kid there that had the mumps. All right? It was a crude approach, perhaps, but it worked out okay. And the fact is, we know this about viruses. These pestilences come, and over time, the population develops some immunity resistance. But even then, fact is, these viruses kill thousands of people every single year. And they have been killing thousands of people every single year throughout my lifetime and back in history. I mean, this probably goes back into the days of Nimrod, when God showed it was best for folks to spread out already and not huddle together like rats. And now my concern is that every time some very zealous doctor comes along with a model predicting outrageous numbers of death from a new virus to come along, here we go again. Now, let me conclude segment one by pointing out that we don't do this with anything else that's killing people in America routinely. Where will liberals draw the line? Well, think about this. Liberals are perfectly comfortable tolerating the death numbers in alcohol-related deaths every year. Why are we reacting with so much concern about people dying with the Chinese flu? And we don't care about the 7,755 Americans that die every day from all sorts of causes? Their answer would be, we can't stop all that. We can't control. That's right. Well, no, actually you could. If you took the draconian measures you're taking right now, you could certainly reduce the number of alcohol-related deaths by just stopping people from drinking alcohol. But you won't do that, now will you? Friend, if these governors decide that they're going to rush in to save us from the death of several hundred by every new flu that comes along, our liberties are gone. Slowly but surely, people's ears are beginning to be allowed and be able to hear that 80,000 people died of seasonal influenza from November 2017 to late February and or early March of 2018. And every single year, CDC estimates a range of between 9 to 45 million flu cases, 140,000 to 810,000 hospitalizations, 12,000 to 61,000 deaths. But we have never shut the country down for any of that. Are you telling me that we're going to start shutting the country down every year at flu season? Then why don't you shut it down for the number of people who are dying of alcohol-related deaths? How about 58,069 Americans die from alcohol-related deaths every year? And that number does not include alcohol-related traffic collisions resulting in death. But did you notice that every single one of these states has gone out of its way to exempt the booze industry as essential, while many of these same governors and mayors are calling churches non-essential? Well, I'm glad Newsom hasn't come out with that one. Some of these governors and states are and mayors are harassing and attempting to intimidate churches and Christians. In New York, for example, de Blasio has ordered churches to close down entirely, and he threatened to close them permanently if they refused. And the mayor in Greenville, Mississippi, remember, ordered churches closed, wouldn't even let them have drive-in services. But the liquor stores are open. All right, anyway, hold on through the break, my friends. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
It's God's war, and we are his soldiers. The battle for America is on. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. A few weeks ago, I pointed out that Americans are wired for liberty, for freedom. I mean, we cherish our freedom. And I wondered out loud, how long will it be before Americans began to cry, freedom! Here, I think Mel Gibson did it best. Now, Trump is tweeting, liberate Michigan and liberate Virginia. You know, he gets it. He really does have an uncanny ability to tie into Americans' psyche. You know why? I think it's because he is one. It's been a while since we've had one of those in the office. You know, I started crying freedom a few weeks ago. And it appears to me that many of our fellow Wallace-spirited Americans are chafing at the chains and bucking against the racks upon which they have been manipulated into lying down and allowing themselves to be strapped in. They scared us into running into their stretcher and letting them strap us in. And then they started turning the screws on us and stretching us. It was going to be a few weeks, you know, and then turn the screw. Well, it'll be about a month, and then turn the screw. Well, not likely any sooner than August, and then turn the screw. Maybe not until 2021, then turn the screw. You can't go to church even if you stay in your car, and then turn the... You get what I'm saying. Are you out of your mind? Michigan's governor has gone so far over the top. Four sheriffs in the northern counties of her state are sending out "We will not enforce" notices to the citizens of their jurisdiction, citing their oath to protect and defend the Michigan and the U.S. constitutions. Large protests are beginning to develop in Michigan, North Carolina, Utah, Wyoming, New York, and Virginia, as those governors are turning the screws too tight against their true-blooded Americans and just taking it beyond their tolerance. It's true that Americans are more tolerant of oppressive government today than they were in 1776, when they did things like organize tea parties and organize a massive rebellion against the English tyrant named George, declaring their independence and defending their liberties even to the forfeiture of their lives. I'm telling you, Americans would rather die of this stinking disease than be prisoners in their homes for the rest of their lives. This is getting intolerable. But our forefathers committed their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to break government oppression. But there comes a point where it's just obviously unreasonable and wicked intrusion upon the rights of man. And, well, liberals have their triggers and conservatives have theirs. And infringement upon our rights is certainly a trigger. Look, I do appreciate the fact that social distancing, these protocols, insofar as they may reasonably be employed, are certainly wise and appropriate and prudent. And as I've told you 1,000 times, I practice them. I do appreciate the fact that our governor has not played his hand heavily as some of these others have. But is he sending a kind of ominous signal when he talks supportively of the Los Angeles clear overstep, who has now reached over and begun to touch religious liberty? Don't be too surprised if you read about that mayor in LA and New York's mayor joining each other out in the proverbial cow pasture, chewing the cud with the cows for 7 years. That's a biblical allusion, I'm sure, is floating right over the top of many heads right now. Okay. It is time to begin the landing. Flaps at 15%. Let's increase throttle just slightly. Nose down. End of runway in sight. Line it up with the top of my engine housing. Okay, in descent. Looks like the conspiracy crowd got it right again. Well, somewhat. Because apparently this new coronavirus did leak out of a virology lab in Wuhan, China, after all. The news story is that it accidentally escaped a Wuhan laboratory where it was being researched for curative purposes and not as a potential biological weapon. So, you know, that's the new China-approved story. I've noticed liars have a device they use that goes kind of like this. When the first lie begins to fail because, you know, truth is just very stubborn and finally begins to eke out, and when enough facts surface that makes that lie no longer believable, they will retreat to another lie that yields only to the amount of truth they know they have to yield to. But then they quickly craft a new lie in such a way they hope will take suspicion away from the real lie, what they're really trying to hide. This retreat usually moves toward the truth, but it does not go all the way. You know, when you see this going on, it is almost always a signal that there is a seriously damning truth that's being covered up. So, the lie that it began in a wet market in Wuhan, by the way, a wet market sells fresh meat, fish, other perishable goods, usually in open air markets anyway. The lie this started in a Wuhan wet market won't do anymore. So, let's put out another lie. That, okay, it did accidentally leak from a Wuhan biology lab, but it only happened because we were trying so hard to compete with America in our study of viruses. That is a lame lie. And that's what happens when they start acting in panic. They just do stupid stuff. You know what I hear in that is, hey, don't look at that rock over there. The one under which evidence lay that China was monkeying around with this particular viral bat, attempting to prep it for use as a bioweapon. Huh? What do you think about that? Well, why wouldn't they say they were studying the virus they discovered in this horseshoe bat to create a vaccine because they wanted to get ahead of a possible outbreak? Wouldn't that make a whole lot more sense? Now, my point here is you need to learn how to listen to these people. When they come up with a stupid lie, you got to know they're covering something up that's a lot more serious. But you see, in my experience, liars don't think clearly to begin with. And when they are in cover-up mode, they think most unclearly. Will another smoking gun be found, revealing it was being prepped as a bioweapon after all? But a Chinese with a conscience, and there are many such, by the way, decided to expose it, eh? Now, there is an even darker conspiracy theory that some deep state nut jobs arranged to have this virus carried to China from America, where the plan was to release it into Wuhan population, shut down travel from Wuhan to anywhere else in China, but allow travel from Wuhan to, well, everywhere else, especially to America. Hey, Mr. American, why don't you go home now from Wuhan to America? And he did, and it was discovered when he got here that he had the disease. And meanwhile, the deep state organized a full court press to attack aimed at the Trump economy in hopes to derail it, stop his massive rallies, have Americans cowering in fear, which is where they like to keep us all, to bring down a president, but more than that, to bring down a country, America, as a matter of fact. America as founded in particular, and then raise up in its place the Socialist Republic of North America. Hey, can I spin a conspiracy or what? And my point is, that's what happens when special interests attempt to quash the truth by dismissing it as a conspiracy, only to have their lies exposed. It ends up fueling the conspiracy theory engines that are native to human nature anyway, especially when the humans in question have been lied to repeatedly. I mean, how many of these pandemics are going to come out of China before we start to say, hey, whatever you do, vote for Trump in November. That, my friend, truly is your only way to strike back at all this that's going on in this country right now to destroy the home of the brave and the land of the free. They tell us this was not a manufactured virus, that it is a creature of nature arising in a creation corrupted by the fall of man. Well, I wouldn't have said that, you know. And I'll give you more insight on that Sunday night at 5 p.m. in my Issachar Report as I respond to Cuomo's latest Antichrist rant against believers. But the Chinese have a history of using viruses as a weapon, did you know? Here is a document dated October 1, 1941, revealing concerns in Japan about, quote, Chinese employment of chemical and bacteriological warfare against the Japanese, end quote. Although, I must say, the same article offers a whole lot of evidence condemning Imperial Japan for extensive use of biological weapons during World War II. I found this interesting. That business, you know, of blaming an accidental release of invisible people killers from a lab and blaming that on ingestion of infected animal meat, well, that goes back to 1979, you know, maybe even earlier. But in 1979, an explosion occurred at the Soviet Institute of Microbiology and Virology, and a bunch of folks downwind of that facility died of anthrax inhalation. Soon thereafter, the communists blamed it on Russians eating tainted meat at first. Anti-communist Russian Boris Yeltsin, however, some 20 years later, admitted the anthrax was released from that research facility explosion. And then communist Bulgarian government used an umbrella fitted with a device that injected a pellet with a toxin called ricin that killed, well, we should say assassinated, a hated dissident. And that was back in 78, their Soviet years. And the supplier of that toxin was the Soviet Union. And, oh, by the way, as an aside, we now know that Iraq had biobombs prepared in the run-up to the war. 166 bombs, 100 with botulinum toxin, 50 with anthrax, and 16 with aflatoxin. They also had equipped 25 Scud missiles with these toxins. Spray tanks were built to be fitted to fighter aircraft or drones that would spray these toxins over larger areas, and artillery shares were fitted to deliver these toxins as well. Of course, the Bush haters never mentioned that, but, you know, quote, it is now clear that U.S. forces faced a significant biological warfare capability in the desert, in quote, WMD, anyone? Can't find those. Why didn't we have 24/7 wall-to-wall on that one? Fact is, our attack was so overwhelming and the invasion so quickly moved in on them, they never had a chance to deploy. And when they might have, we were so deep into Iraq by then, it would have been suicide to do so. All of this supports another theory I have offered about our apparently extreme reaction over the China virus. And the point there is, the discovery of this recent lie about what was called conspiracy theories before just throws the doors open to conspiracy theorists that go crazy. U.S. security agencies such as Homeland Security and the entire Department of Defense has been deeply concerned about a bioweapon attack, and nothing has abated that concern. It was learned that our suspicions regarding Russia's heavy investment and involvement in creating biological weapons back in the day was justified when it was learned that Russia continued 20 years after they signed the treaty prohibiting the development of such weapons. Boris Yeltsin, after he removed his bottle of vodka, let the proverbial cat out of that bag back in 1992. It all got exposed. Guess what? We also know that other enemies of America eagerly hired many of those Russian scientists. What programs did these scientists set up for those countries? Friend, despite what Mr. Cuomo says, the truth is, God is our protector and our only sure defense. Don't forget that. Other nations have, to their peril. 11 Iranian Revolutionary Guard naval vessels almost collide with and harass 6 United States ships in international waters lately. Okay, flaps are at full now. I got a crosswind, I noticed. A little right rudder there. Okay, good. Some floating. Bit more throttle. There we go. Did you hear that some stimulus checks are being sent to people that are dead? Yeah, dead folks are getting stimulus checks. Wow. What do you want to bet? These are the same dead people that are voting in every election. And isn't it strange that all dead people vote Democrat? Even some of those who were Republicans in life, when they die, they vote Democrat. Well, I guess that makes sense. Only someone who was brain dead, at least. Now, who can't think or reason would vote Democrat these days? Don't you agree? And my friend, you know they're plotting to steal the presidency, to keep the House and get the Senate by election fraud. There, I said it. I've hinted at it, suggested it. Now I just state it plainly and stand by it. Nothing else explains Democrats eliminating the voter ID law in the state of Virginia. What are they planning? Nothing else explains the resistance to voter ID law here in my beloved state of California. Right? It's a rational thing to expect. It's certainly reasonable that any state would want to ensure only citizens participate in this most sacred privilege of citizenship in this blessed country, the power to vote. They're planning a ballot box coup. They failed at their impeachment coup. Don't forget the phony dossier, the FBI illegally spying on candidate Trump. Actually, it's worse than illegal. It's a violation of an American citizen's privacy rights under the color of law. And now this, their Hail Mary backup plan, a ballot box coup. Because, don't you see, ultimately, this is all about tearing America down and rebuilding it into the United Socialist States of America, the USSA. I have lit the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114 and leave me a message in our listener response hotline or go to our website. And right now I'm asking you to go to godswar2020.com, godswar2020.com, and use the contact form there to send me a message. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.